Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco, and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. We're also brought to you by Rita's of Hayward, serving Italian ice and frozen custard. Today, our scheduled guest was former Giants catcher Andrew Susak, but he had to reschedule with us, so pinch hitting. His official score for Major League Baseball, Michael Duca. Michael, great to have you with us. Talk about the San Francisco Giants, and we haven't had a chance to catch up about this team, and what a year it's been, because the first half of the year, right before the All-Star break, best record in baseball, pretty good lead over the Dodgers, whatever it was, seven or eight games. Now, as we speak here on a Wednesday, the Giants and Dodgers are tied for first in the National League West. So fasten your seatbelts for a great ride here at the end of the year, I guess. Did you see this coming? I mean, just the way things were going with the Giants and even with the Dodgers playing really good baseball. And how do you see the Giants reacting to the fact that they have been caught now?
Well, first of all, did I see it coming? I did, but it didn't come in the way that I expected it to. I didn't think that they were going to be able to build an 8.5 lead using just smoke and mirrors, which is basically what they were down to with all of the injuries that they were trying to recover from. But when they got the guys back, it kind of proves the value of spring training a little bit. People came back, but they came back without any opportunity to really have major league level timing, and you're seeing guys fighting that on a regular basis right now. Joe Panik talking about the fact that he's still trying to find a balance point in his swing. Hunter Pence today hit a fly ball to right field in foul territory, and Mike Kruko was praising him for that being the best outside plate coverage swing that Pence has had in over a week. So we're reduced to the little things now, like being able to get in a good at-bat. We're not even looking for base hits at this point. We're just looking for good at-bats to start turning things around for these guys. It's not easy to regain your craft at the major league level when everybody else is in midseason form, and the shortcomings get really glaring. By the same token, the Dodgers, who are 23-13 since Clayton Kershaw went out of their lineup, I don't see how that can be sustainable either. If you look at what they're doing, their starting pitching over the last week and a half has averaged less than five innings a start. Their starters have a very high ERA. They're not a good defensive ball club. What they're doing is they're just pounding opponents into submission by scoring runs right now. You've got two guys on that team with 21 home runs and two or three more with 18. So you're looking at kind of the opposite recipe of the Giants. The Dodgers have a lights-out bullpen, which we all thought was going to be shaky at the starting of the season. Miserable starting pitching, which we all thought was going to be their strong point. And they're overcoming a questionable defense.
Well, it is amazing that they played that well without Clayton Kershaw. And for the Giants, I mean, they need to get better starting pitching as well. I mean, you talk about the offense, but outside of Madison Bumgarner, the other starters have been inconsistent, and they've definitely made a big move to go get Matt Moore to be in the rotation. How important do you think that was? They did have to, you know, give up some players, including Matt Duffy, a very popular player. Did you like the move?
Well, the key to that move, there are two keys to that move, and they are both down the road. The first key to that move is that Matt Moore is under control for multiple years. When the Giants go shopping at the trade deadline, you know, while everybody else heads off to Macy's to see what's available, the Giants go down and shop on Rodeo Drive. They are only willing to look at young, proven talent that is under contract for an extended period of time, or old guys who are cheap two-month rentals. In Matt Moore's case, he's under control for three more years at team prices or options that are very friendly. He's got a Bumgarner-like contract. And was I happy to see Matt Duffy go? No. Was I surprised to see Matt Duffy go? Also, no. You got to give up some kind of major league talent, usually, to get back a proven talent like Matt Moore under control for so many years. The key to that deal is Christian Arroyo. I've heard a lot of fans talking about why don't they just bring him up now and see if he can't provide a spark for this offense. They're not willing to do that. They don't want to rush him into a situation where he may fail to begin with, and it may take a year or two to repair his swing and his psyche. But he's coming. He is the third baseman of the future, and the future is closer than we thought.
We'll have more with official scorer for Major League Baseball, Michael Duca, who also works for MLB.com, right after this. We all know the Giants season has fluctuated between being very hot and, just after the All-Star break, cold. At least they're not boring. So what about your dessert experience lately? Same old, same old? How about trying a unique, refreshing, frozen dessert from Rita's Ice of Hayward? Rita's is sure to please everyone, offering sugar-free, dairy-free, and all-natural treats. Over 70 flavors of Italian ice to choose from, and 8 flavors of their award-winning frozen custard. The combinations are endless. And this is a cold experience Giants fans can embrace. When you stop by Rita's Ice of Hayward at 26775 Hayward Boulevard, be sure to mention the Sports Virus and you'll receive one free regular size Italian ice with a purchase. Rita's Ice of Hayward, Italian ice and frozen custard. The Giants do take a lot of pride in the homegrown players, and that's why I guess it's tough for fans to swallow losing a guy like Matt Duffy. And then, in the other trade with the Brewers, they end up losing a couple of guys that the Giants were high on for sure. And Phil Bickford, just drafted last year in the first round. And Andrew Susak, he was sidelined by the wrist injury and that set him back, but he still has a bright future. They get Will Smith in return. He hasn't pitched well so far, but do you think in the long run that Smith is really going to help that Giants bullpen?
I think they think that they have found Jeremy Affelt 2.0, maybe with a little bit less off-the-field safety issues.
Right. The knee injury notwithstanding.
Knee injury notwithstanding, although he's coming right out of the Affelt mold with that knee injury. How many guys have damaged their knee trying to put on a shoe?
No. It does sound strange that that happened, but he is a left-hander.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, and that goes a long way to explain many, many things. Jeremy is actually, I'm able to count him among my personal friends, and so I can tease him a little bit like that. He's harder on himself than I am on him in more ways than one.
Well, you make those trades, and the other trade, actually the first trade of the three, was to acquire Eduardo Nunez. And, at first I thought, well, Adalberto Mejia, there's a left-handed arm who throws, I think, in the mid-90s, strikes out a lot of batters. He could have a future in the rotation. Why'd they give him up? But then you see the speed that Nunez brings to the table, and it's pretty exciting. I mean, just the way he runs the bases, that one game where he had a couple of triples in that one game. Do you think that, the dynamic part of the game that he brings is going to be a big addition to the Giants here?
I do, and keep in mind that lurking in the wings waiting to finish rehab is Kelby Tomlinson, and if you have both of those guys in the lineup, you now have world-class speed somewhere in your lineup, whether you spread them apart so that you have one of them up virtually every inning, or whether you back them up one after the other and just send the mechanical rabbit out and let the greyhounds run. Nunez is also an interesting thing because he's under control long enough to give them the opportunity to let Arroyo finish developing before they hand Arroyo the third base job. And Nunez is also, if you will, a poor man's Ben Zobrist. He's capable of playing the outfield. He doesn't really like it, but he's done it a number of times. and he's capable of playing any infield position for you. So, you know, they were actively seeking Zobrist in the offseason, and I think they've identified maybe the next best thing. A little bit less power than Zobrist, maybe, but not a lot less, and definitely more speed.
More with Michael Duca in just a moment.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Tan Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
You know, you watch a lot of baseball games. How much do you cherish when you get to see moments like we've seen Sunday and Monday, involving the Miami Marlins, by the way? Sunday, Ichiro got his 3,000th base hit with a triple, and we've only seen that one other time in Major League history, a 3,000th hit that was a triple. Paul Molitor, the Hall of Famer, did that. And then against the Giants on Monday, Brandon Crawford, one of 4 players ever to have 7 hits in a game. I don't know that I was even putting that down as something that I was expecting to see. We remember Rennie Stennett doing it in the 70s. I think it was 1975. But just amazing, amazing.
Rennie Stennett, the $6 million man.
Right.
Rennie Stennett was probably the most amazing of all of them, not just because he had 7 hits, which may have constituted about 1/4 of his career base hits, I'm not sure, but he did it in 9 innings. And you have to just sit and contemplate what it was like watching a game where your leadoff hitter gets up 7 times.
It's amazing to do it in that short amount of time. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, if memory serves, the Pirates scored 21 runs that day. So it was like a revolving door, you know, at third base anyway. But yeah, Stennett parlayed that one game into a very lucrative non-playing career with, of all teams, the Giants. So, you know, something like 40 years later, the Giants finally can feel good about somebody getting 7 hits.
Yeah, and I heard that he was going to congratulate Brandon Crawford. You know, they're kind of part of the same team there as far as getting the 7 hits. But I do remember him with the Giants. I mean, you know, old-time Giants fans will remember him back, I think it was 80 and 81, a couple of years there. Those were fun teams to watch, as you remember. I mean, Joe Morgan was on that team, Darrell Evans, Larry Herndon, Jack Clark. I mean, they didn't win a ton, but they were definitely a fun team to watch, you know, especially because they had some of those players that, you know, stayed around for a while.
And Mike Ivey.
Mike Ivey. Mike Ivey, there's a name, yeah.
Mike Ivey had a key Grand Slam home run that still shows up on the This Day in Giants History broadcasts. Those were interesting teams. They never really broke our hearts because we never really expected them to do especially well. And so on those rare years where, you know, they outperformed expectations, it was a lot of fun to watch them. You know, you mentioned an awful lot of people on the offensive side and not too many people on the defensive / pitching side of those teams, and that's with good reason. It's hard to remember some of the guys who are out there throwing. I can certainly remember Mike Caldwell, Ed Whitson, you know.
Vita Blue. Like Vita Blue was around then.
Yeah, Vita came in. I mean, my recollection of Vita is that he showed up around 83, I think, but I could be wrong about that. Anyway, those were, you know, we can look back much more fondly on those days from a basis of 3 trophies.
That's right. Getting back to the current Giants and the situation at hand, What do you think that they need to do here down the stretch to improve? They got a couple weeks here before they play the Dodgers head-to-head. That's going to be huge in L.A. in a couple of weeks. But you know, the schedule's not easy. They got the Orioles coming into AT&T Park, and you know, that's been a team at the top of the AL East. Pittsburgh's always tough. The Mets. This schedule is just not easy this month.
The Dodgers schedule the rest of the way is significantly easier than the Giants. And who's to say that that's going to prove to be an advantage? The Giants, unlike the Giants have scuffled against the Phillies this year, and everybody thought that that was going to be, piece of cake. You're going to win 4 or 5 out of 6 there. The game plays itself out the way it does. And the Dodgers may revert back towards the mean any time now. They may stop hitting like demons, or the Giants may start hitting like demons. You never know. What the Giants need to do is relax at the plate, get one guy going. And once you get one guy going, that tends to become contagious. Not hitting has been contagious for 25 games. When hitting gets going, it can be contagious for 25 games also. It's never important to be the best team in August. It's always important to be the best team at the end of September. And by best team, I don't just mean record. I mean the way you're playing the game. The Giants have a history over the last half dozen years of closing well, and I don't see any reason to suspect that they won't be able to do that again. You have to remember that Bochy's trying to get his bullpen in particular through the next 3 weeks until rosters expand. Guys like Corey Guerin will be coming back. Josh Osich will be coming back. And he's going to have a lot more matchup opportunities available to him when they're there. You know, Boch is at his most comfortable when he's got three lefties down in the bullpen and when he can just go left, right, matchup on you for the entire eighth and ninth innings if he needs to. By the same token, it would be a good idea to at least play 500 ball for a week and get the feeling that you can turn things around. We have a recent example that did not work out too well. It wasn't too many years ago. The Oakland Athletics had the very best record at the All-Star break and wound up fizzling out completely in the second half of the season. So there's nothing that says they have to do better. But history suggests that, as Dusty would say, water seeks its level.
Right.
and I see them as being a less flawed team than the Dodgers, top to bottom of the roster. Now, whether that plays out or not is another matter entirely. We don't know yet what difference Dave Roberts at the helm will make over Don Mattingly. We do know that the Dodger teams under Don Mattingly tended to lose focus and kind of disappear late in the season. So we'll see if that happens still, and it's a matter of the players, or if Roberts and his bench coaching crew and such are able to have a more beneficial effect on that team.
We'll continue the conversation with Michael Duca from MLB.com and official score for Major League Baseball right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
Now, to finish up, Alex Rodriguez playing in his last game with the Yankees on Friday, and there's a lot of speculation that he's not done playing, even though, you know, his numbers would suggest that that no team would take a chance on him, but maybe the Marlins, you know, because he has the Miami connection. How do you view A-Rod and everything about him? Because, you know, he had the drug suspension and all that. There's a Hall of Fame candidacy to think about, just like when you think about Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens. I don't know that you lump them all together, but how do you view his career in those terms?
Well, you separate him from Bonds and Clemens in that he was suspended and they weren't. So that's one way that you know, if you want to vote A-Rod into the Hall, I don't have a problem with that, but I think you got to put some other guys in there first.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, unfortunately, I think that personalities have an awful lot to do with it, and Bonds and Clemens and A-Rod, all three of them in their playing careers could have benefited from a read of How to Win Friends and Influence People, that's for sure.
Right. Good point.
You know, so it's unfortunate in, you know, in my world, you ignore all of the personality stuff and you look at the ball player and his impact on the field. We don't know, you know, how pleasant John Montgomery Ward was. We just know he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, there are guys, Nap LaJoie. I mean, we don't know anything about these guys. We just know they're in the Hall of Fame, and they're in the Hall of Fame because of how they played the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these guys that we're talking about all played the game at the highest level. All were considered the best player in the game at their position or on their side of the ball. Bonds was certainly maybe never considered the best left fielder, but he was always considered an all-star outfielder, and, you know, he was certainly the most feared hitter in his league. A-Rod was the most feared hitter in his league, and Clemens was at the top of his game as a pitcher almost all the time. He had a couple of down years in Boston that got him moved to Toronto and started the second phase of his career. So all of those guys are extraordinary. A-Rod, maybe a tiny bit more so, because A-Rod was a right-handed hitter, and so he got to face favorable left-handed pitching much less often than Barry Bonds got to face favorable right-handed pitching. You know, and the same with Clemens. Clemens had the advantage by being right-handed, seeing more right-handed hitters than he did with left-handed hitters. A-Rod, special case. You know, if he remains reasonably healthy and unsuspended, he probably has a shot at Bonds' record. On the other hand, if he doesn't dope, does he continue hitting home runs in his late 30s and early 40s at the rate at which he was hitting him? It's really hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, and even looking at the ballparks, I mean, Yankee Stadium has never particularly been a home run porch for right-handed hitters. So he adjusted his swing a little bit, went to right field a little bit more in his late 30s. And how many guys have the skill to do that? Special player, a special player who I think the worst thing that could have happened to him was going to the Yankees, and that's exactly what did happen to him. He was possibly the best shortstop in the American League when he made the move to New York, and the Yankees took the guy with the best arm and left him at short and took the guy with the most range and moved him to third, which didn't do much service to either Jeter or A-Rod, but because they were putting him next to an icon in New York in Derek Jeter, you know, the newcomer had to move and change position. And I think that in the long run, that probably was some damage to his career also. People forget how good a shortstop A-Rod was.
Yeah, he was great. Well, he did get his World Series ring in New York, so it worked out at least for that in 2009.
Sure. Sure. I mean, there's no, I'm not saying that he didn't have an outstanding career and that he didn't have an outstanding career in New York. I'm just saying that, you know, he was never the guy. You know, Jeter was always the guy and was always treated as the guy, and A-Rod was given a little bit of the redheaded stepchild treatment in New York.
All right, Michael. And by the way, while we were doing this podcast, we were both kind of checking out the Giants-Marlins game, and Barry Bonds just got ejected from the game. And I don't know, how often do you see a hitting coach get thrown out of the game? Not very often.
No, how often did you see Barry Bonds get thrown out as a player?
Yeah. He's pretty intense as a hitting coach.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, he knows that if he gets thrown out as a hitting coach, he's not going to deprive his team of a ninth inning at bat, which is why he never got thrown out as a player. And second of all, there's been talk all series long in Florida about magical floating strike zones. So, you know, my suspicion is that that might have been the culmination of 3 days of frustration by his hitters, and he may have kind of taken the position that if I get thrown out, they'll know that they're justified in how they're thinking, but they'll also know that they're still in the game.
Right. Well, best wishes to Barry. Seems like he's doing a pretty good job there. Michael, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you at the ballpark on the upcoming homestand.
The pleasure was mine, Joe. Thanks for having me.
That's official score for Major League Baseball. Michael Duca coming up on Saturday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco podcasting as the Giants take on the Baltimore Orioles. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com and now on canbr.com.